Blog Talk Radio.
Pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
on Pastor Leroy, and I'm going to bring on Pastor Veal. Righty, how you doing, guys?
Hallelujah. I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Where's Pastor Kent?
I don't know where Pastor Kent is right now. He said he was going to be on, so hopefully he will be on.
Somebody told me, hey, it's Ashley, everybody. It's Pastor Veal. Really happy to be on, as usual. Pastor Ken, did Pastor Hopper email you or call you and explain when he was going to be on?
I don't know. He said he was going to be on, so I'm waiting to see what happens. Okay?
Well, I hope he calls in because I emailed him today, and I extended my offer for him to have a verse or two on a godly rap song that I'm working about to reach the kids based on a discussion that we had yesterday about abstinence, about premarital sex. I would be hoping he would come on and do this line that I made. It's like, it doesn't matter if you're black or white. Bible has it written down in black and white. It's just a bar that I think he'd do really good on, and I just call him in, and I hope he accepts my offer. Farrar says, Pastor Kent is probably lying next to his wife, not having intercourse in a godly manner and overslept, and I think that's rude, but I do hope Pastor Kent shows his presence is sorely missed.
Well, maybe, I don't know. I mean, hopefully he's going to show up. Because if he's going to, I mean, he asked me if I was going to do a show today. And I said yes. And he said, I'll be there. So, maybe he decided to do a show on his own in his own Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know. Ancestor would know. Ancestor pays attention to Pastor Kent, as do I, obviously. But I would hope he would not be meeting with GRM. I mean, he's just as part of this ministry as Pastor Leroy or you or myself are.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, there's no competing with GRM. Okay. I'm not really worried about that, if he was, okay? I mean, like I said, I hopefully he's not doing that, okay?
You're the undisputed king of Blog Talk Radio. You're the undisputed king of Blog Talk Radio right now. I mean, there isn't much competing you can do with GRM. This is simply the most popular godly show on Blog Talk Radio, and that says a lot because there's a lot of godly, so-called godly shows on GRM, or not on GRM, on Blog Talk Radio. What am I saying?
I listen to quite a few of them.
You know what?
Which I hope you all do too.
I want to say, hey, Pastor Veal, how you doing, Pastor Veal?
I'm doing phenomenal. I'm doing phenomenal, Pastor Leroy. I've just been at work all day. I'm sitting at my desk, actually, right now.
Yeah, me too. I was at work all day, too. Let me ask you something, man. I want to thank you, and I'm sure Ken wants to thank you, for being on this show the last five or six episodes. Since you came on, man, it's been a little more fun. Not no offense to Pastor Kent. Pastor Kent kind of like the co-star here. But since Pastor Veal came on, I think my buddy Pastor Kent would agree with this. I think it's been a better show. I just want to let you know that.
Oh, yeah, it's been a good show. Now that we have you on too, Pastor Leroy. Okay? And I'm glad to have all the pastors that come on the show. Okay, it's a great opportunity to bless others. Okay, with our wisdom. Okay, and I hope that we do that to the folks who listen.
Amen. I completely agree, and thank you, Pastor Leroy. I think the show's been much better with you on it, too, and that's no disrespect to Kent at all, or Ken. We've been discussing hot-button issues recently. We've been diving into same-sex marriage, LGBTQ issues, Grant McDonald. We've dove into robots last episode. Is it sinful to have sex with a robot? Which the answer is yes, and that'll be the subject of my rap song. And Leroy, I hope you decide to hop on a bar to spit some bars for me on that rap song.
Before we get into the message, do you want to play that song?
Oh, I don't have it done yet. I'm working with
you. You don't.
If you've ever listened to the Bosco Boys or Two Catholic Priests from Long Island, and you know they do some rap songs, and then if you know what Hard as Nails is, it's sort of like that vibe, right? Like trying to get the end generation.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
All
right. So it'll go hard.
Yeah. Well, I got a great message for you all. It's called Prone to Wonder, okay? And I bet you're wondering what this sermon is all about, right?
Yeah.
Okay, basically, it's a series on, and it's titled Soul on Fire, God's Plan for Revival. And it's taken from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7.
Pastor Ken, I don't mean to interrupt, but I think we have, I received a message from somebody on Discord by the name of Leader of the Flock, which I'm pretty sure is Pastor Ken Topper. He's on a 111, he says. Do you think you can pick him up?
That's not the right Pastor Ken,
though. They look the same. Anyways, we'll just take calls later. Get into the message.
Okay, well, let's see here. Let's see, I'll try 111. 111, you're on the air.
Hello, Kenny.
Alrighty. So this is the fake Pastor Kent.
Are we sure?
Why do you insist on calling me a fake Pastor and have an imposter there that is using my name and stealing my persona and says he is against the homosexual gays and against those who partake in drug activities and does not call them addictuates, for he does not know how to cure or how to alleviate the syndrome of the down and also of addiction and sexual addiction and drug addiction. And why do you let him push you around more than Tony F?
I don't let anybody push me around.
Kenny, he is against the gays, and you are a gay, Kenny. That is an imposter. I lived as a gay man for 2 years. I am not against homosexual gays.
Well,
are you
know,
against...
Say what?
Kenny, are you against homosexual gays, Kenny?
No, I'm not against anybody.
Then why do you let that imposter criticize the gays?
Well, he hasn't. He really technically hasn't criticized it. He just simply said that's not for him. Okay?
He says that is not right. And I will tell you this much. I am the real pastor, deacon, astronaut, hermaphrodite, Kent Douglas Copper.
I don't know.
Okay.
Pretty.
All right.
All righty then.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, guys, I got a sermon I want to bring together. Okay, and
mute everybody before you start.
Yes, I'm gonna mute everybody. Okay, and
use your tone, bitch, Kenny.
Whatever. Oh. Okay, God bless you all. Okay, listen to the sermon, and we'll talk about it after it's done. All right. Okay, here we go. It's titled Poem of Wonder. You see, Robert Robinson was born in 1735. His father died when he was just a boy. The family was very poor. His mother got him into an apprenticeship to learn how to be a barber. So when he was about 15 years old, she sent him to London. As a 15-year-old boy away from home, okay, mom there in London, he got into the wrong crowd. See, as you can see that happening, he got into trouble. He began to carouse and carry on and do things he shouldn't do. Well, one day, he and his pals went to hear George Whitefield, the great evangelist, preach. They went to make fun, but Whitefield's sermon really spoke to Robert Robertson. He didn't make a decision for Christ, but the words of the sermon resonated in his mind and in his heart for 3 years. At the end of the 3 years, he prayed. He received Christ, and he was saved. 2 years after that, he was called into ministry, and he wrote the words to a song that we still sing today, all the way back in the 1700s. You are familiar with the song? It's called Come Thou Fount. And the words go this way. Come Thou Fount and every blessing, tune my heart to sing. Thy grace streams of mercy, never ceasing. Call for the songs of the loudest praise. Teach me some melodies, sonnets sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. As these words of him go on, he says, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He too rescued me from danger, interposed his precious blood. That's his testimony. I was a stranger, and I was wandering far from the Lord, and he rescued me. But the key to the song and what we want to focus on today are these words. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I am constrained to be. Let the goodness like a fetter, like a chain, blind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. See, you know, every Christian knows what it's like that's in your heart to prone to wander from the Lord and to prone to leave the God you really do love. But you wander from him. It's sad truth in the Christian life that we are also so prone to wander. And because we're prone to wander, we find ourselves so often in need of revival. Now we are starting a new series today entitled Soul on Fire, God's Plan for Revival. God's plan to get those who have wandered back to him. Now remember this, revival is for Christians. See, it's revival that's restoring to life. You can't be revived unless you've been vibed. So you have to vibe before you can be revived. So you have to be a believer. There has to be a spiritual life. But revival is for those, as Robert Robinson wrote about, we have wandered from the Lord and need to be brought back into the fullness of the relationship with Christ once again so that we can really and truly have a fellowship with him. Now, when revival hits a life, a church, community, then awakening takes place. What's awakening? Awakening is when believers see that there is excitement and fire and passion in the lives of Christians. And they're not just talking the talk, but they're walking the walk. And when they see that, they say something is going on here. And the Lord begins to work in their hearts, convict them of sin, and show them that they need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And history records revivals through the years where people and communities were changed because the Lord began to do a work in those who had wandered away. Hey, I want to ask you, have you gotten stale in your Christian life? Do you find yourself just kind of going through the motions of spending time reading the Bible, spending time praying. You know your prayer life just doesn't have vibrancy. It's just kind of, you say the same things. Let's just be honest. And a lot of us just blah, blah, blah in the name of, in Jesus' name, amen. I mean, there is no passion there. There is no fire there. Has that happened to you? Maybe you're one of the who has wandered away from the Lord. That was the case for the Church of Jesus. The people that made up the Church of Jesus, now in the book of Revelation, John is on the island of Patmos. He's been exiled to the island of Patmos. John the Apostle, he was the only one of the 12 apostles who died of natural causes. All the rest saved Judas, who hung himself. All the rest were murdered by their faith, martyred for their faith. But John lived to be an old man in his 90s. And he's been exiled to the island of Patmos for his faith in Christ, and he's breaking rocks in exile. Well, the Lord gives him a revelation of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, and he is told what is to come, and he writes that in the book of Revelation. This is what he says, Revelation chapter 1. I begin reading verse 9. John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation of the kingdom and presence, which Lord Jesus was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the spirit of the Lord's day. The Lord's day is Sunday. That's when they worship after Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. The believers didn't worship on Saturday. They worshiped on the Lord's day, Sunday. It was the spirit of the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like a sound of trumpets, saying, write in a book what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, and to Samaria, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And the seven churches of Revelation were geographically located in the place called Asia Minor. The place we know today as Turkey. I have a picture of the seven churches of Revelation. You can see Patmos there. There where John was. Well, Ephesus was just across the sea. And if you go clockwise upward, it's like a mail route from Ephesus to Samaria to Pergamum to Thyatira to Sardis to Philadelphia to Laodicea. And so the first letter that the Lord gives is the seven churches of Asia Minor. The first letter goes to Ephesus. And it says this in chapter 1, verse 19. John sees Jesus, and he sees him in all his beauty and all his glory and the majesty of who he is. Now, John spent lots of time with Jesus. He's the one that put his head on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. But when he sees Jesus in all his glory, his hands, he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And the Lord puts his hand on John and says, don't be afraid. Puts his hand on John, don't be afraid, John. He says, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Write, therefore, the things which you have seen, which you did write, and the things which are, that's going on in Revelations 2 and 3, the seven letters to the seven churches, and the things shall take place after these things. That's Revelation 4 to the end of the book. As far as the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the seven angels, or pastors, or seven churches, or seven lampstands, or the seven churches. And then we started the first letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure all evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you have found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So this is what the question I want you to consider today. Does the message to the church in Ephesus apply to you? doesn't apply to us. Three discoveries from the first letter in the Church of Revelation. Discover number one. The church in Ephesus was doing lots of great things. Now, Ephesus was a church that was founded by the Apostle Paul on a second missionary journey. Paul, on his third missionary journey around 52-53 A.D., set up shop there in Ephesus. He lived there for almost 3 years. The church in Ephesus had the Apostle Paul there for the preacher. They had Timothy, who came after Paul. He came in 60 A.D. You had Priscilla and Aquila, who were there heavy hitters in the book of Acts. You had Apollos, who was there. Apollos is a man who was mighty in Scripture. He was some kind of preacher. Apollos, you know, in the First Corinthians, some of the Corinthians said, I am Paul, I am Cephas, which is another name for Peter. And said, I am Apollos, because he was such a powerful preacher. You had great preaching in Ephesus. You had great miracles that took place in Ephesus. Ephesus was a very pagan place. In a large city, 250,000 people lived in Ephesus. It was called the Metropolis of Asia. Well, God was doing some great things in that place. And the Lord, when he came to speak to the pastor to send a message to the church, he commends them on some great things. And four things are mentioned. First of all, they were working hard for the Lord. And he says, hey, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance. Toil is the Greek word copus. We get our English word copious from that. When someone is taking copious notes in class, that means they're taking extensive notes. They're writing down everything. And your toil is hard work. It's painful labor. They were working hard for the Lord. Father, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul says to the Corinthians, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord, well, they were working hard for the Lord. And they were persevering. They were staying at it. They weren't quitting. And the Lord says, hey, that's good. You're doing something really good here. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance. They were working hard. Secondly, they were standing against sin. He says that, and you cannot endure evil men. You cannot endure evil. You stand up against sin. You stand up against men who are committing sin. You let it be known where the dividing line is. You cannot endure evil men. Now he says in the verse 6, yet this do you have, that you hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The Nicolaitans are mentioned twice in the book of Revelation, in the letters, and people have wondered, what in the world? What were the Nicolaitans doing? Because the Lord hated whatever they were doing. He didn't like it. He hates the deeds of Nicolaitans. He tells the Church of Ephesus, which I also hate, the Nicolaitans, some Bible scholars have talked about, and some early church fathers talked about the Nicolaitans. They were led by a man named Nicholas of Antioch, who was talked about in Acts chapter 6. He was one of the first deacons, but he went off the rails. He began to lead a movement that embraced the compromise in the Christian life. And that said, you know, sin isn't really so bad, and we can still serve God. We can have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and it's okay. And God's okay with that. And so they introduced immorality into worship. The Lord says, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They were polluting the church, God said. Hey, you Ephesians and Ephesian Christians, you do that too. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Good for you. I was listening to an interview with a pastor, and I am not naming his name, but they were asking him about the issues of homosexuality. You know, in those interviews, they like to get a guy and then they start asking him about something that would be considered controversial to get him to make a statement about it. Well, this pastor, whose middle name was Malakotos, wouldn't say anything. He's like, well, you know, we just want to be known for what we're for and not what we're against. Oh, yeah? Well, the Lord says what you're for is important and what you're against is important, too. The church in Ephesus was against the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They made that clear. And the Lord saw that, and he commanded them for it. You don't endure evil men, you're standing against sin. Thirdly, they were practicing spiritual discernment. He says in verse 2, and we put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and he found them to be false. Now, the deeds and the signs of the apostles were signs of wonders and miracles. How do you know if somebody was a true apostle? Because they would do signs and wonders and miracles. And so, a lot of people just like it is today. They put apostles by their name. Oh, I'm the apostle so-and-so. Really? Well, there are your signs and wonders and miracles. And it's been also intimidated in Scripture that in order to be an apostle, you have to see the resurrected Christ. If you haven't seen the resurrected Jesus, you can't be an apostle. So what does that tell you? There are no apostles today. The apostles died with John. He was the last of the apostles. John lived in Ephesus for 30 years. He got there about 66 A.D., Ephesus is a place of high rollers, and if we could use that term, I mean there are heavy hitters. When you have Paul and Timothy and John and Apollos and Achilles and Priscilla, there were some really big names that were in that church. Well, they put to test those who called themselves apostles, and they found, hey, you're not really an apostle. Amen? Well, I'm going to stop there. Because we got more to go, but I don't want to get too heavy on this, and I don't want you to lose thought. Amen. All righty. Well, let's bring on our panel of people. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's bring on back on Pastor Leroy. Pastor Veal and so-called Pastor Kent. Okay. Okay, you all are back on.
Amen. I'm glad to be back on. And, you know, I really enjoyed your sermon, Pastor Ken. I thought it was really, really, really good. I thought it touched on a lot of very important points. And, you know, I'm very happy that you had the floor today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Pastor Kent still hasn't joined us. Okay, I don't know what's going on with the other Pastor Kent.
I am right here, Kenny.
Okay. Well, we're talking about the other Pastor Kent, the one who has a blog talk channel now.
Pastor Ken, I'm just looking through Pastor Kent's social media platforms to see if he is okay. And I mean, the latest thing what is this? This is a weird tweet. May 22nd. She's farting on her man? What is going on? Wrong answers only. I don't know. I can't find any activity on social media except from the last thing he posted was on August 27th. So I don't know where he is, and he hasn't been in Discord either. I'm really nervous. And I just hope this other person on here, their voices sound so similar. I hope that's Pastor Hopper, but I don't know. I'm so confused right now.
Yeah. So, Pastor Ken, do you got anything you wanted to talk about?
Kenny. What I wanted to talk about is that the imposter keeps talking about the illegalization of opiates, drugs, marijuana, prostitution, gays, LGBTQs, and above all, legalizing minor prostitution. Now, he is a pedophile in my book, Kenny. And for you to...
Why do you
say
that?
Because he admitted to touching his stepson because he gave him the look.
I thought that was you.
That was him, Kenny. You heard him say it. He said he gave him the look. He lived as a gay man for 2 years, yet he dislikes the gays. He claims to be a recovering addict, but does not wish to recognize that legalizing would help them out. Yet he says he is a counselor. He claims to be everything I am. The only thing he cannot claim is that he gets more vagina than I do, because that is my, that is not his, that is mine, Kenny.
Okay. Well, are you married now?
What's that?
Aren't you married now?
I am married to Charm, and he claims he's married to Charm. But he is still associating with Madeline. She calls in, doesn't she, and asks to speak to him, because they're still in a relationship.
Well, that's a fake Madeline Mitten. That's not the real one.
That's what he says. But that is the real Madeline. I could assure you of that.
What is the look, Pastor? Kent, I think this is... I'm so confused. What is the look, though?
You see, when that imposter had sexual, anal, fallacious fornication with his stepson, he said he gave him the look, and the look was, according to him, one of horror, where no means yes, and you take what you want, and what you want you take. Those are his words, not mine. And I don't know if he forced... Go ahead, colleague.
Where did he say this at? Like, when?
He said it many, many moons ago. It was either in the Discord, on HGM, or on Powder's radio show that he had. Was it not, Kenny?
Yeah, it was said.
Kenny, you're not messing with me right now? I'm not being messed with? Like, the so-called imposter actually said that?
As far as I know, I don't know what's going on here. I know we got two Pastor Kents, okay? One, they both claim to be in the real one, okay? So, I don't know.
I'm so confused right now, geez. If this Pastor Kent could tell us his story, so to speak, his coming to faith, then I think that's a good way to tell. I don't know. Pastor Kent, the question mark, could you please tell your story about how you came to the faith?
I absolutely can. Now, you've all heard my story about the two pillars and the number 10,000, have you not?
Yeah, I believe I have.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I will say it again. You see, I am Dr. Kent Hopper. From Heaven's Guardians, here to help you deal with life in our Christian walk. Our ministry standing. We as a ministry stand on this acceptance on all regardless of age, race, creed, religion, homosexual orientation, nor gender, or addiction, prosthetic, analytics, copious, coitus, and immaculation. Romans 2:11 through 22 and Mark 7:6-21 says this. Also Mark 12:33 and Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is united with the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has passed. The past is the past. Look at what has come is fresh and new. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't keep Kenny from fucking it. Call me at 289-921-0477. I have a bachelor's in biblical studies, theology, and divinity, and several more doctrines. That is my testimony, my sons.
I don't know. Pastor Ken, Pastor Ken, really, in the past, he hasn't really liked you much, you know? I don't know. Maybe this is the real one. This is so utterly confusing to me, and I'm so concerned. I have a few more questions to ask him, because as you know, Pastor Ken, I've known Pastor Ken for 10 years, and I've never been this confused. I didn't even know there were two Pastor Kents. Like, this is astounding to me, Pastor Ken's on air right now. Your opinion on, we had this discussion yesterday about fornication, right, and about how having intercourse with a robot would be considered to be a sin. What is your opinion on that, and how did you keep yourself from having intercourse with a woman for 2 years when you were living with her?
Well, it was, are you talking to me, my son?
Yes, of course.
So, you see, the mind is more powerful than the bosom. Therefore,
as long,
excuse me, my son, what was that?
I said, what exactly does that mean, though? The mind is more powerful than the bosom.
It is a quote from biblical times, from Nogata, chapter 2, verse 13.
I have a question.
Okay.
Where's the real Ken?
I am the real Kent. Where is the real Tony?
The Kent that's been doing this show.
It is
that
me.
Kent.
That is an imposter.
No,
he
I think
is
you're
an imposter.
The imposter. No, I think you got that backwards.
Tony, I don't know. Like, I've been hearing this Kent around for longer than I have the other one, to be honest, and I've known Kent for 10 years. I'm really confused and upset.
Okay,
and
well, let's just go with this. Ken, you're there, right?
Yeah.
You know this is the fake Kent, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then. I just want to make sure that we're under the understanding that this is the fake. Okay. We're good.
I am not fake. You are fake. Kenny.
Okay. Well, anyway,
has he showed you his identity?
This is not the same Pastor Kent that has been doing shows with me. Okay?
Well,
this
Ken,
is another Pastor Ken.
Pastor Ken, maybe we can call. I'm pretty sure you have Pastor Ken Topper's number. Maybe we can call him up and see where he is, the other one, and maybe compare the two voices. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't have his number with me right offhand.
Well, I can maybe give you the number.
There's no need. We all know who's who and who's what. So, no need to call people. He didn't call in today, so there's obviously a reason.
I don't know. I'm bad with voices, Tony. I need to hear, even if this is the fake Pastor Ken, I need to hear from the real one.
Okay,
I don't know where he is.
Okay, well, I'll give you a suggestion. Here's what we'll do. You hang up, you call Kent, and tell Kent to call in.
Okay. I can absolutely do that. Thank you so much for
Ciao.
Since
there you go.
Tony
Ciao.
F. runs the show, Pastor Beal, you should do as Tony says, since he is in charge of the show.
No, I just help keep Ken with little things because he doesn't hear well, and he doesn't hear some of the things that go on. So.
Yeah, my hearing has gotten really bad. Yeah.
And as
I'm
long as
sure
we're paying for the show, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
As long as we're paying for it, Tony does
right.
What
as long
wants.
As we're paying for it, you don't have to worry about it.
That does not mean you have to demean Kenny and tell him what to do and embarrass him live on the air.
Nobody's embarrassing him. I'm just telling him he asked me to come on and let him know when he needs to mute people because he doesn't hear all the sounds that are in the background. So I'm here with
because
Ken's permission and by Ken's asking. So deal with it.
Amen.
I'm sure he did not ask you. I'm sure
well, I'm sure he did.
Yeah,
in.
I did.
Hey,
Kenny.
Look here, man. Look here. Hey.
Yeah, Pastor Leroy.
Am I even here or what? Am I on mute? Like, what's going on,
no,
man?
No, you're not on mute. Pastor Leroy.
Okay, well, look, man. I appreciate Tony being on here. He's made a lot of good points over the last week or two. So I'm glad he's on here. I'm sorry, Pastor Kent. In fact, you know what? And I hate to do this, man, because I think you're a funny dude, but I don't think you're the real Pastor Kent. And I'll tell you why. Because you just sound a little different, man. Man?
And the real Pastor Kent is a prude. He would never talk about penises and things like that. Never.
Tony, yeah, I think you're right. I just called him and he didn't pick up, and I'm really beginning to think that this is not the real Pastor Ken Topper. And I do apologize to Pastor Ken Topper if I made this terrible, terrible mistake. And your assumption there is right. Pastor Ken did not enjoy the discussion we had yesterday, I think. He didn't like talking about sex and intercourse and things that matter in life. And so, Tony, I think you might be on to something. Amen.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to cut the fake Pastor Kent off. Okay? I'd rather keep it kosher. Okay? Let's bring on 585, which I believe is Cobra Jeff. Hey, Cobra Jeff, is that you?
It is me. Hello, everyone. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. Is there some shenanigans going on again?
Yeah, we got the fake Pastor Kent calling in.
Oh, that's no bueno. No bueno at all. Is that Pastor Veal also?
Yeah, I'm here. Mr. Jeff, Dr. Jeff, how are you?
Good, how are you? God bless you, Pastor Veal.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that. And I hope you're doing well after the car accident you had with the tree. With your cherry tree burning incident, I hope everything's okay on that end, too. And I just hope everything in life has been treating you well recently. And I know you're going through some stuff. And
It's been okay. Let me tell you, after the accident with the tree last night, today after I got out of work, I went home and I burned down every darn tree in my backyard. I'm so tired of trees.
Amen.
Okay.
You know trees are just overrated.
They are. There's so much to them. You know, you got to trim the branches. You got to break up leaves. You know, God, why did God make trees?
I don't know. I think they make oxygen or something. But I was about to say something akin to like the bushes too. You know, it's really, really annoying to trim a bush. It's hard to keep them healthy. They have prickly stuff on them sometimes, and you wander into them, and you get all scratched up on your arms and legs. You know, I'm just not a big tree or bush guy.
I'm not a bush man myself. Usually I prefer a nice clean slate. You know, if I ever get property that has bush on it, I say time to trim this bush right away. You know, this isn't the 70s anymore. We need a nice, clean landscape, you know? No more bush.
Amen.
No more bushes.
Yeah, they were very popular in the 70s.
Correct.
Same thing with green carpet.
Do we have Pastor Kent on, or is Leroy on?
Okay, man. Okay, this is Leroy Jackson, man, from the Bronx, man.
Hello, Leroy. How's my main man doing tonight?
Doing great, man. Let me tell you something, man. We've been going through a lot of hot weather here, man, in the Bronx. We're like 47 degrees, man.
I'm from upstate New York, Leroy, and it was 95 degrees today. It's done.
We've had 47 days, man. 47 days over 90 degrees here in the Bronx, man. This is ridiculous,
that's horrible.
Man. Woman,
hopefully you kept hydrated with some nice fruit.
Yeah, I waited for her to bring one over to me. She said she was going to do it like 20 minutes ago, man. Come on, man.
You need to tell that woman to get in the kitchen and make you a sandwich, Leroy. Or in your case, make you some fried chicken or something. I don't mean to, whatever's more politically correct.
Well, she did that earlier, man. She always makes me go to that damn KFC. I'm not hooked on that shit, man.
Man, that's horrible. You got to control that woman, man. Control that woman. Control that jungle bunny.
Now, Pastor Leroy and Dr. Jeff, I've got a serious question here. It's about, summertime, you know, when it's hot outside. What do you like to do to cool off if you don't have an AC unit, which I know a lot of people on the East Coast don't have? And is it fair to say that the Bronx is burning?
Well, personally, what I do, if my AC takes a crap, you know, take a couple ice cubes, drop them right down your pants, keep your piece of deal nice and cool, you're nice, you're perfect. And for that Italian, piece of deal means you're private.
I remember doing that in football. When I played football and when it was cold out, they'd say, stick your hands in your pants. And when it was hot out, they'd say, take the Gatorade ice cubes and put them down your pants too. And that typically cooled people off. And I thought it was weird at the time, but everybody else was doing it.
Well, I never put ice on my pants to go off. And I've never done that.
I have a big walk-in freezer in my basement. So sometimes I'll just get butt naked and walk into my freezer if I'm really hot.
Oh, really?
I brought a woman down there and we had a little fun and my shit came out like a Slurpee.
Oh!
Ungodly.
Yeah. Here in the Bronx, man, what we do to get cool, you know, the little children, the little black children, the little nigger children, they open up the fire hydrants, man, on every block, every damn block, they open up the fire hydrants, man. So you know what? I join. I got some old lady. I say, hey,
I bet you the police don't like that, though, man. Is that why the police shoot everybody over there?
Hey, you know what? Well, we got some cops here, man. But that's okay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.
Amen. Pastor, I'm so glad to hear that. And I bet what Ken likes to do when it gets hot out is he likes to take a dip in the Riverwalk in San Antonio. Have you ever done that, Ken?
No, I can't do that here. No, I can't do that.
Can't
take a dip
in the Riverwalk?
No, they won't allow that.
Oh, that's crazy. I've always wanted to see the Riverwalk. I've never actually been to San Antonio. But the Riverwalk seems like a cool thing. Have you ever been to the Alamo, Ken?
Yeah, I've been to the Alamo.
Oh, crap, I'm being followed by a cop. Should I pull over or should I run? Leroy, what should I do?
You better run, man.
Oh, crap.
Yeah,
okay.
I would pull over.
I think it's dogged
to rally, man. That's what
it's
I used to do back
cop,
in the 60s,
and
man.
They're going to kill me.
Well, you're
going
to an alley,
people.
Man. Go into an alley,
hey.
Man. That's what I used to do in the 60s, man.
Well, the only alleys I go into is when I go get some ladies of the night, if you know what I mean.
Oh, prostitution is ungodly. I just have to say that.
Well, I never said it was prostitution because I usually let them do the deed and then I drive away before they pay me, or before I pay them, you know? So it's not technically prostitution. They're just servicing me.
Pastor Ken. Let's dive into another topical discussion here, because I think bringing out prostitution made me think about this. You know, prostitution is the oldest profession in the world.
Yeah, it was around during Jesus' day.
Yeah,
Jesus' friend was a prostitute.
Yeah, I know. He was friends with a prostitute, and Jesus never condemned prostitution, and I'm not saying it's a good line of work. I think it's certainly dangerous in a lot of places. But, I just got Mexican food stuck in my mouth. Perhaps prostitution, like drugs, would be better if it was legal, because you would get these women out of the hands of their pimps, so to speak, and into professional unions, perhaps, or organizations to protect each other. And it could be more of a line of work for people.
Well, they got legalized prostitution in Vegas.
I know they did. They legalized it in Vegas, and I think it's sort of legal in Seattle, but I know in Vegas a lot of women make a lot of money doing prostitution. There was one woman who claimed to have slept with 2,000 men. I remember she retired back in 2020 or something when the pandemic hit, and she said she had intercourse with like 4 different presidents, including Ronald Reagan.
I don't know about that.
Well, Leroy, what do you think about legalizing prostitution?
Look, man, in my neighborhood, prostitution's been legal for like, you know, 25 years, technically, man. Nobody comes in here and arrests the prostitutes, man. They just walk around. How about $10? You give them, man, $10. Go into an alley, you know. I'm not going to get graphic. You know, this is a godly show. But let me tell you something. They're all over the place, man. And to legalize prostitution, especially in Las Vegas, Nevada, it should be legal there. The women, I've been to Vegas, man. And I'll tell you what, the women there, holy schmoly capaboni, those women are hot, man. They are smoking hot. And they charge a lot of money. They charge a lot of money, man. Here in the Bronx, the women in the Bronx here, man, they look like they was hit by a truck. All of them. They fell off the ugly tree and hit every branch coming down, man.
Oh, man.
Well,
that's terrible.
Tony F. talked about last episode how Christians should date plain women, so maybe it's good if you try to reach out to these women and maybe make one of them your wife or something, you know? If you won't be tempted to have sex before marriage because, as you said, and I think this is ungodly, but they fell off the ugly tree. Maybe that's a good thing, ultimately. Amen. But, yeah, I think prostitution should be legal. I think it's a service. It's an old service. People get it. And, I mean, I've never been with a toot. I'm not a toot guy myself. But I know very many people who are toot guys. And they all say it should be legal.
Well, myself, I've never been with a prostitute myself either. So I couldn't really, you know, comment on that as far as that goes. Should be legal as well. I mean, it might as well be legal. It's been going on for thousands of years.
Amen. There's a part in the Bible that a lot of younger people like to point out about prostitutes lusting after men with big genitals the size of donkeys or something to that effect.
I doubt very seriously the Bible says anything about that.
I'm actually dead serious. It is a wild verse in the Bible. I typed in Tony in Google. I need to get the verse in it there, because I obviously haven't memorized it, because it's not that important to the actual message of the Bible, or what is, it's the Word of God, but Bible and donkeys. So the actual quote is from Ezekiel 23:20, and it says, the New International Version at least says, there she lusted after her lovers whose genitals were like those of donkeys, and emission of like that of horses. That's an actual Bible quote. And the King James Version says, for she doted upon their paramours whose flesh is as the flesh of asses and whose issue is like the issue of horses. So a little bit more subtle than the International Version, but that is a line that exists. Ezekiel 23:19 says, yet she multiplied her promiscuity, remembering the days of her youth when she had prostituted herself in the land of Egypt. So it's talking about a woman who I think Jesus conferred with at one point and, like, helped her break out of prostitution or something. I could be wrong. I really haven't read Ezekiel in a while.
It's been a while since I read Ezekiel.
Yeah, the pulpit comment is verse 20, she doted on her paramours, commonly the word is used of a concubine. Here it is used to scorn of Egyptian princes who favored Judah. Courted reminded us of Homer's, I believe that's the Iliad and Odyssey, is indicating their political weakness. All that needs to be said of the comparison that follows is that here also Ezekiel follows in the footsteps of Jeremiah. What is indicated is that Judah threw herself into the idolatrous ritual of Egypt with an almost organic passion. The harlot nation returned, as it were, to her first love and renewed the whoredoms of her youth. So it's talking about a prostitute. So, yes, it does exist. Interesting.
Yeah.
There's some ungodliness going on in the chat right now. Kostoff is saying, Pant Esther, don't you have children to diddle, scum fuck keto boy. Sorry I cussed. But Kostoff is being ungodly in chat.
Ah!
I don't know.
Pastor,
I think
Ken,
you should ban him.
It's Pastor Leroy Jackson, man. I'm from the Bronx, man.
Yes, Leroy.
What happened to Pastor Kent tonight?
I do not know.
What happened?
I have no earthly idea. Okay? He said he would be here, and he's not.
Pastor Ken, can we take more callers?
Yeah, we can. We're going to try 111.
Hi, this is Pants Soiler.
Hey, how you doing, Pants Soiler?
Hey, I just wanted to say I liked the other Kent more. He wasn't as angry as the other one, so I just wanted to put that out there.
Oh, okay.
He's kind of got a
point. Yeah, like it's, well, you know, yeah, the other one can get kind of angry at times. That's true.
Yeah,
this one doesn't.
He gets very angry.
But this has been such a, I think Pants Soiler has a point. This has been such a godly show, but also a fun show recently. You know, we've been talking a lot about a lot of complex issues. We've been laughing it up at some quotes. You know, I think, you know, hopefully Kent Hopper calls in. I the real one, as everybody else is thinking, because I do think he brings some important points there. Although I wish he would expand upon them sometimes. Like yesterday's discussion, all he said was just black and white, and I don't think fornication is as black and white as it seems, right? Pants, what's your think?
I agree with that 100%. I think he needs to definitely expand on his rebuttals.
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And Ancestor, I'm just so glad you called in.
Can I be honest with you and tell you my personal opinion on Kent? Not no Kent. I've done about 10 shows with Kent over the past couple weeks. But let me say this. The last couple shows, Pastor Kent has not been himself. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why he's acting the way he's acting, but he's just not been himself. So my feeling here, Pastor Kent, and Pastor Kent, I love you, man. I think that Pastor Kent has ducked out of here, man. I think he's gone. I don't know why, but I think he is, and I'm very disappointed in him. He said he was going to do a show.
And he didn't even
you.
Have the curtis. Sorry.
That's okay. He didn't even have the show with you, man. He told you he was going to do a show with you, and then he just takes off. Now, look, I'm not passing judgment, man. I'm just saying. Okay, I'm done.
He didn't have the courtesy to tell you that he wouldn't be showing up or he'd be late or anything.
Yeah, he didn't say, he said he was going to be there. He didn't say anything about being late, but he just simply said he was going to be there.
Well, I hope he calls in, because he says he listens to every show, and he says that he watches Discord all the time, but his Discord thing has been off, which has been really concerning to me. And there's been no activity on Twitter.com. I emailed him today asking about, you know, the rap first line. You know, I don't know. And Pants Soiler, what do you think? Have you looked through social media to see if he's okay?
I was about to do that, actually. I wanted to see if there is any recent activity.
Yeah, we can
okay,
come back.
Okay, I haven't seen any recent activity. Okay, I see. Okay, I see the Panther and Pastor Bill. You tried to get a hold of him on Discord, and he's not on Discord.
Is Tony Farrar still on?
Tony, you on? I guess not.
Well, Tony's got to unmute their mic or plug the phone into the.
I just wanted to get his opinion on this, Matt.
Yeah, I want to hear Tony Farrar's opinion, too.
I'm very disappointed. I got to tell you, I am very disappointed that Pastor Kent, who told you he was going to show up, didn't show up. And you know me, man, I usually sit on the side during the shows. But this one... This one has me a little upset, man. I don't
hey, Pastor Bill, I just realized we didn't do an altar call today. Well, why don't you do one for us?
Yeah.
Damn, I just got cut off. Just cut me right off.
Yeah. If you love what you're listening to right now, and if you love Jesus Christ, but, you know, haven't loved him beforehand, and if you are interested in Christianity, if you want to convert to Christianity, simply say this prayer. Lord, I am a sinner, and I pray for forgiveness for my sins. Every day I'm working to become a better man or woman. And, Lord, I pledge my life to you. I pledge my life to you. I'm not very good at altar calls, Pastor Ken, but
well, that's okay. Just do the best you can.
I pledge my life to you. Hey, I'm doing my altar call, Leroy. I pledge my life to you, and I believe that God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, and I believe in you for eternity. Amen. And if you heard this message and if you agree with it, we want you to call in. And the number to call in on, of course, is 657-383-1487. Again, that's 657-383-1487.
And don't forget, push the one key. Amen.
Yes.
All right.
Do we have any more callers?
No, we surely don't. As far as I know, let me check. Oh, wait a minute. No, we don't have any more callers.
I do have a request. If Kosoff calls in, please do not take him. He's cussing in the chat. He's being rude to people. I think he's being very ungodly.
Oh, wait, we got another caller, 111. Let me bring it on. Hello, 111, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I just wanted to give you guys a quick call, let you know I'm a huge Pastor Ken fan, a big Pastor Veal fan, and I'm a huge Leroy Jackson fan. I think he's a great pastor also. And my question is for Pastor Leroy, if he's still on. Are you there, Leroy?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Okay. So Ken and Veal have both tried to help Doug. So I think now what my question is would be for you. And what I heard was that Doug shaved one leg, so when he's in bed, it feels like he's with a woman. Do you think that Doug can get a woman?
Well, let me be honest with you, man. Let me be honest with you about Doug, okay? I don't normally talk about him. I don't even know the man. But let me tell you something. Any man who shaves one leg to act like a woman, that dude's got some serious shit going on, man.
No doubt.
I mean, he's got some serious mental problems. He probably needs to see a shrink or major doctors. Freaking hallelujah.
Amen.
There's some ungodly language going on in chat to answer your question, Mr. Mike. Kosoff said, go squat over Veal Chop's mouth in chat to pop a squat, unfortunately. Very unfortunate language. You know, we don't use that language here on GRM, and I'm going to have to ask Doug to please tone the language down in chat. You know, this is a godly show. There's a time and a place to talk about squatting over people and doing certain things on them that are ungodly that I can't mention. But Mr. Kosoff has, you know, I have tried to help him, and I told him, you know, that I was praying for him, and, you know, it was important for Kosoff to seek help from certain individuals. Such as Jabo, who's a good friend of my ministry, and he ended up just leaking their numbers and in general just being a rude person. And we know that Doug struggles with a lot of things, and we pray for him. But unfortunately, his behavior, including what you're describing, Mr. Mike, is still concerning, to say the least.
Amen.
Although he is my bitch.
All right. Well, I guess this Pastor Kent hasn't come on. I don't think he's going to come on the last couple minutes of the show here. Okay, so maybe he's doing a show on his own. It could be.
because I don't think it could be. Well, Ashley A said that he doesn't have a show today, so that's why I'm concerned. And I'm just hoping he calls back in, you know. We need his advice on things, and I know he's been feeling down recently. He doesn't like to discuss sex in the Bible and things like that. But I'm hoping he calls back in. He's great in this. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Kent.
Yeah.
Don't give up because Pastor Kent blessed your show. Okay? He may be back. He may not be back. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because I'm here for you. Pastor Bill's here for you. The whole world's here for you, man.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's true. That is so true. I've got you, Pastor Leroy, and I've got Pastor Bill, okay? I mean, I do like to have Pastor Ken on. He gives us a different perspective on things. But if he chooses not to, well, that's up to him. Well, I'm going to close this out with a prayer. Lord God, keep us in your spirit. Surround us with your protection, so that in body and soul we may praise you, might and be joyful even in a world full of evil. Shine into our hearts, that we may discern what is right and good and eternal. May you do more than we can ask or understand for those who still walk in darkness, far away from you. May your eternal mercy unfold them, and may the earth be filled with thanks to you, the Creator and Father of us all. Amen. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Yeah, my COPD is acting up. So I'm going to say God bless everybody. God bless you for calling in today. People that have called in. People that have joined us in the chat room. God bless you all. Okay. My guns, Ashley, Brimshaw, Farrar, Kevin Moorhead, Crosser, Papa Squat, Pastor Veal, okay, Pastor Leroy, Pantsola, okay, you want to give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama, okay, Johnny Longfeather. God bless you all. Thank you all for coming, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Amen.